It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
Every time I look at myself on camera, I want to like smash. Like, I hate myself right now.
I used to look like a thumb. Now I don't.
Now I do. I'd say let's talk about sex, but with the way I look, probably not going to be happening.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
And I always do same game parlays or correlated parlays as an if-then statement. So if the Nets win by a lot, then what else happens? What else happens as a result of if the Nets win by a lot, then? What are some unique aspects to these games that are taking place in this exact moment that could lead to some correlated outcome?
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Costos is out, Nick Ashew in, Ken Barkley here as usual. Of course, you can stream us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube, the Odyssey app, all the various ways you can stream exist, and they are there for you and your entertainment. Probably more entertainment than what we got last night in the final game of Super Wild Card Weekend that wasn't really as super for the Cardinals. When you look at that 34-11 score, Ken, I say to myself, that is not indicative of how bad the Cardinals actually looked. I have never seen a playoff team look less prepared than the Cardinals looked last night. When that thing hit 21-0, I sat there and said, well, good, Rams minus 3.5 is probably very secure. I'm going to feel good about that. I'm now going to move this game from main TV to small screen, laptop on the side, and just monitor it, because there is no way that I'm going to sit through this trash the entire time through, and I didn't have to, and it was great. But the Rams came through for me, which is really all that matters.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to you for having the Rams.
Thank you.
I ended up with a couple small bets involving the Rams. We talked about this on the show yesterday. Nick was on the Cardinals from early in the week. Nick Costos, obviously. Nick Ashew filling in today. Costos won the Cardinals at a number that went away very fast, 4.5. And then once it got to kind of like 3-ish, put in a couple bets. I ended up moneyline parlaying, the Rams with the Titans on Saturday. I had a bunch of people reach out on DM like, how should I play the Rams? What should I do if I don't have 3 -110? And it wasn't like one of my favorite things, but seemed a little valuable between 3 and 3.5. So happy to hear that we were on the same side in that game. Three straight primetime evenings, back-to-back-to-back, where I could not pay attention and go to bed early. I mean, imagine it happening. What a world, what a life, what a life that we lead. Just awesome. Feel rested, and I was positive I would get to today's show if you would talk to me on like Thursday afternoon. So hey, it's going to be Super Wild Card Weekend. Probably wouldn't have used the word super. That's just what the league uses. Hey, it's Wild Card Weekend. There are games Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. I'd be like, I'm going to be on no sleep by the time we get to Tuesday, and then my off day tomorrow. I'm going to be exhausted because so much football. What if there's a dramatic game that takes forever? What if there's a remotely compelling game that even just keeps you up until 11:30, 11:45 midnight Eastern? And I have two kids, for people who don't know, and they wake up at like 6:30 in the morning. So I was a little concerned, and this went about as well as it could have. Everyone else is complaining. Super Wild Card Weekend, like four of the games stunk, and the other two, one was horribly officiated and one had a coaching blunder in it. That was your Super Wild Card Weekend. And I'm like, that was awesome. That was great. Let's run it back again. Lambeau Field Saturday night. Let's get that going one more time. Let's get the blowouts going. Only one more I have to dodge. Chiefs Bills 6:30. I can make that. Go to overtime. Go to whatever we call the extra overtime after overtime in the playoffs. Go there. That's fine. It'd be over at 10:30, 11 o'clock. No sweat. It was, another blowout, a terrible football game. I mean, actually a terrible football game in that it was a completely indicative scoreline. I'm sure you feel the same way. Completely one-sided. Only one team ever deserved to win the game based on how it played out. Anything particular like stand out to you as notable, Nick? I mean, it's a demolition, obviously, but anything kind of stand out to you that surprised you or something that you were expecting, and that's why you bet the Rams that ended up happening?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, what my concern was, even though Matt Stafford doesn't have a great resume in the playoffs, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury have absolutely no experience in an NFL game in the playoffs. And like, whenever I go into these playoff games, that's kind of how I went down the list and how I picked every game with this. And it's really kind of the way
The only bet
that I missed was I was stupid, and I don't know why I did this, but I let, you know how we talk about like emotional bets at times where you think like, you know, the human element gets in there and there's other storylines. I just thought for some reason there was a chance the Steelers would have some weird backdoor cover at the end.
I wanted to say that. It was that Dallas. I couldn't tell which one, because those were the two where you didn't have an obvious like first time starting quarterback on the opposite side, obviously.
I talked myself into Steelers plus 13, and it clearly did not work out. But other than that, I had the under in Dallas 49ers. That was, you know, that ended up that, you know, I wasn't comfortable with that spread. So yeah, but you know, if you're looking at this game last night, you don't have obviously the track record with Matt Stafford and his success there, but you have absolutely no experience from Kyler Murray whatsoever. You know, we've seen this before where you have Lamar Jackson, he wins MVP, but then you don't see the Ravens go far in the playoffs. And you have this conversation about really most young quarterbacks having to break through that wall a little bit, where last year that was the first time for Josh Allen really kind of getting through. Like, if you actually look at the list, I had a list. In fact, I have it here. I mentioned it on my shows on Saturday. So this is the list of rookie quarterbacks that have won. Now, rookie, obviously Kyler Murray's not a rookie, but just guys that are in, these are actual rookies that won their first playoff game.
Sure.
Big Ben, not a surprising name, right? Russell Wilson, not a surprising name. TJ Yates, Mark Sanchez, Sean King, and then Joe Flacco. So it's really hard to predict when you have these quarterbacks that don't have the experience yet in the playoffs and how they're going to play. So the only reason why I was kind of leaning towards the Rams, and that was because at least you have Sean McVay. Sean McVay's been there, and it's obviously not the Bill Belichick effect, which certainly did not happen on Saturday night. The Bill Belichick effect was drunk or something, because that did not look good whatsoever for the Patriots. That was horrendous. But you did have a little bit of that. And look, Matt Stafford only had to throw the ball 17 times in this, so he's got a rested arm. He's 13-17. You get two touchdowns in there. You just run the ball a lot after that, milk the score, and then just get yourself out of the game. Everybody stays healthy and you move forward. And, you know, we're seeing a happier Odell Beckham Jr. with the Rams too. This team's got talent, but you got to be able to put that talent together. You have to be able to get everything working on the same page, chemistry, all of those things. And maybe we're at that point where the Rams are really starting to click now.
Totally possible. I mean, you talked about the talent, the top end talent on the team. So Stafford, Beckham, Kupp, Akers, who returned from an Achilles, which is amazing and worthy of almost its own segment about the medical miracle that is him coming back from this injury to look as good as he did last night.
That's a year long injury, dude. That takes like a year for some
or more NBA players. We hear it's like a year plus mind. The first year back. It's not even a thing with NBA players.
Unbelievable.
It's ruined careers. Like, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins tore his Achilles, never been the same since he did that. And there are numerous other NBA players, obviously not different sport, but like, What the NFL is less physical? I mean, what are we talking about? So so that combination of the offense, just the balance, right? Offensive line with Akers, Stafford, Beckham, Kupp, like, all right, this is pretty formidable. The addition of Von Miller, especially in postseason games to go with Ramsey and Donald, like the top end talent is insane. And I mean, it's just not even close. You try to compare it to the top end talent on the Cardinals who they played last night. So as we go forward and we don't have to do it yet, but as we have the discussion about the Rams next game against Tampa, which I wouldn't say I have like an insanely strong, like I have a bet. It's not like some $1 million mortgage, you know, super lock or something, but I do have a bet on the game.
That'd be a great matchup by the way.
Those teams.
$1 million mortgage super lock.
One could argue if I have $1 million to bet on the game, like, why do I still have a mortgage? Like, you could actually make that argument. Shouldn't I have paid off my house already? Stay tuned. So the idea of like this, the top end talent on the Rams is as formidable as the top end talent anywhere. And you saw it last night, which maybe is creating the market that we have in the next game a little bit with the Cardinals real quick, just to really, because you bring up a very, very compelling point. It's worth absolutely hammering it here for people, because a lot of times gambling content doesn't do a good job after the fact of looking backwards, like how did we feel about games going into the games? Are there things that we can remember for the next year? Gambling content's really bad at remembering things for the next year. And just selfishly, as someone who has consumed it for a long time before I kind of flipped to the other side of the counter, if you will, or from consumer to producer, it used to drive me nuts. Like, how many football preview guides come out every year, right? And then at the end of the year, you never hear how those preview guides did, do you? Never hear how those bets went. Interesting. And it even says on them, like, take off the shelf in October. And I'm like, well, why would we want to do that? Like, why would we not want to? And it's important, I think, when something works and is valuable to really like, okay, like when we get to this next year, just keep this in mind. And there are a few things already in the playoffs that I think that's been true. And the results less than the markets in a couple of the situations. Home field is going to be worth more in every playoff game than the regular season. We saw that with the projected spreads. And we had home teams win, obviously, at a good clip during wildcard weekend. The Niners were the only one that won as a road team. But just worth keeping in mind, like, projected spreads these 2 weeks, when we get to the postseason next year, when we get to wildcard weekend, like, expect home teams to be favored more than you would expect. And then the second aspect, if you have a quarterback that has not started a playoff game, and he is playing a team that has produced a playoff starter, be very weary of betting that team or that player in that situation. Don't bet them. They can win. They can cover. It's not like a spread situation. But understand, like, the incredible pull that trend has. And if we just use, I mean, you could use history, but if we just use the games we just saw in the situations in which it was a first-time playoff starting quarterback against a not first-time starting playoff quarterback, the first-time starters got mashed every time. And it happened three times just this weekend. And it's not even – and it was a cover situation, too. It wasn't even a did they win the game or not. So you had Kyler Murray last night, had never started the playoff game. Stafford made multiple starts with the Lions. Obviously a much more veteran quarterback who has postseason experience, even if, hasn't made it deep into the playoffs. You had Mac Jones against Buffalo on Saturday night, and you had Jalen Hurts against Tampa on Sunday. Did we exit any of those three games? I feel like we exited all three games being like, is this the guy? Like, what happened here? Like, what happened in this game? It's like, well, how about the fact that in a postseason starter's first playoff start, like, it looks like that a lot. Like, let's try to remember this going forward. Like, and I wouldn't overreact to Mac Jones. I wouldn't even overreact that much to Jalen Hurts. I just didn't like him a ton going into the game even. And I wouldn't react a ton to Kyler last night. Like, the first start never looks good. And just, like, keep that in mind when we get to next year. Like, the power of that trend, the power of, like, that's a real thing, and it should be obviously a part of any handicapping technique.
Experience matters in these games, right? That's there's no trends to really dictate or remind us of the human element, but that's a big part of this. I mean, going in there and understanding the pressure that's on you as your first game out there, you know that there's expectations on you if you're Kyler Murray. And look, not all of this certainly falls on Kyler Murray last night, but when you're the starting quarterback of a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, I mean, listen, the Cards started off 7-1, but my biggest concern was how it ended down the stretch for them. They finished 4-5. That's a bad sign. When you see a team, there's really two factors that were going against the Cardinals in this. One, they'd lost 4 or 5 in the regular season. That's a bad sign.
They stink.
Yeah. One, you didn't look like a good team, so that's not a good start. And then two, Kyler Murray has absolutely no experience playing in the playoffs, and neither does his head coach. And that's, you know, that's even worse. It's what gave Matt Stafford maybe a little bit of that edge, is because you have a head coach in Sean McVay that's been there, that has that experience, that has that confidence. And that, you know, that type of stuff trickles down to the rest of the team. Be honest, if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you're going into that game and Cliff Kingsbury's telling you how to prepare for the playoffs, you're looking around going, didn't you have a losing record in college? Like, I know we're kind of past that, and he had a good year as a head coach. They started off 7-1, and we can talk about all that. But the reality of it is, when you're going into this game and your head coach that was not that great of a college coach, people were shocked that he got a head coaching job in the NFL, and it's turned out to be, so far, a pretty good coach. The Cardinals, overall, this was a good season for them. They improved. They went from 8 wins to 11 wins this year. I consider this a success for the Cardinals. But if you're that roster and you're looking at a head coach that has no experience in this situation whatsoever, telling you what it's like to get ready for the playoffs, you're probably at least in the back of your mind going, I mean, are you really sure? Because you've never been there before, man. So we're going to go out there and just, I guess, listen to what you say, but you don't have the experience. Our starting quarterback doesn't have that experience. You know, all that stuff really matters. And it was just so obvious that the Cardinals were not ready for this game whatsoever, and the Rams took full advantage of it.
Yeah, totally agree. They played a great game last night. Coming up in the next segment, we'll obviously talk about their game against Tampa, which is a fascinating division round game early on Sunday before the Bills and the Chiefs game. And the spread for that is actually fascinating. The line movement so far has been fascinating. Following the injuries throughout the week, I think it'll be very interesting in that game too. But, you know, we talked about the inexperienced quarterback in these situations and the inexperienced coach in these situations. I heard something so stupid today from multiple people. I try to tune this stuff out, but that people were talking about this type of thing, and they were like, well, you know what that proves? Joe Burrow, he handled it okay. Like, he rose to the challenge. I'm like, he was playing Rich Pisaccia and Derek Carr, who had never played in a playoff game before, and who could have beaten them very easily at the end of the game. Like, what? Were we all not alive on Saturday? Were we all really just born over the weekend? Like, did this really just happen? I can't with this stuff sometimes. I'm like, yeah, or they were both miserably inexperienced teams who made 20 mistakes in the red zone, who made mistakes in general, and that's the kind of game that you got as a result of it.
Yeah, it just was very clear the team that was more prepared last night. And of course, now it's time to look ahead to all of the early lines we got coming up for this weekend. Divisional round. It's not super divisional round. It's just divisional round, I think, as far as I've been told.
So feels super.
It's good. It does feel super. Super divisional round. We'll look ahead to that. All those matchups. He's Ken Barkley. I'm Nick Ashew. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.